You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, happy Monday. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes with you, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You can watch us on Twitch. You can hear us as well on the ESPN app. Not the best weekend for the Astros, guys. They were able to turn it around that last game, win a 9-4 to avoid the sweep against the Miami Marlins.
Barely won.
I would have had a below 500 record as pregame and postgame host.
Yeah, it escalated quickly. I mean, Justin Verlander looked like he was doing very well, and all of a sudden I looked up at the television at the bar I was watching the game at, and it was 5-4, and I was like, what the hell happened? So to see Altuve get the clutch hit that he did on a day where the lineup actually did perform pretty well was great. Now you're just hoping that some of the guys that performed well yesterday are going to be able to keep this up, because, you know, losing 2-3 to a shaky Miami Marlins team, they're not the worst team in baseball, but they're not a very good one either. It's something that the Astros shouldn't have happen.
Was it just me, or did Don Mattingly challenge like 1,000 calls?
I mean, I thought...
And I love Donnie Baseball, but come on.
I thought they might challenge the first... I thought they might challenge the first at-bat of the game. Did you see Jazz Chisholm at the beginning of the game? I have to pronounce it so that I don't get dyslexic with it. But the first at-bat of yesterday's game, like, he's getting pissed off about strikes that were right down the middle. I don't understand. Like, there was he had a long aside with the umpire. And, I mean, what were they talking about? And why didn't the ump just throw him out? So this guy in his stupid blue hair who's hitting, like, 270. Ooh, look at me. My name's Jazz. Like, I want to toss him out like he's Jazz and Fresh Prince from Bel Air. Sorry, I feel like an old dad, like watching him play.
Verlander ended up giving up a home run. The score had been 5-1, and then it was became 5-4, causing some concern for the Astros. But then our guy Jose Altuve stepped up to the plate and did this.
Boop 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 doo 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 doo.
Altuve drives one deep to left field. That ball's gone. Home run. Three-run shot for Altuve. And the Astros turn a one-run game into an 8-4 lead.
Outstanding, TK.
Three-run bomb. They would score another run, making the final score 9-4. This was good to see from Altuve. It's not like he was struggling throughout the series, but we talked about the Astros were able to get on base, but they left so many runners stranded. So many runners in scoring position that for them to be able to finish, have a little power, get that homer, I think it was important for them to get that win before they go to Arlington to play the Rangers in what is technically a road game.
It's a rivalry game, too. It's the battle for the Silver Boot.
The Lone Star Series, I believe they call it.
Yeah. Or wait, I thought it was the battle for the boot, the Silver Boot.
The Silver Boot, the Lone Star Series, the Texas matchup.
Yeah, it'll be nice. King of Twitch is suggesting we sacrifice my cat to help Yuli Gurriel at the plate.
That's
seems a
really
little rash.
Jeffrey Dahmer beginning stages. Type
Ooh,
of
Jeffrey Dahmer. Hell yeah. We're getting into some Dateline action, huh?
Yeah.
Which one was Jeffrey Dahmer?
Cannibal, right?
Oh.
Well, am I right?
Hey, we're not eating my. We're not, you know, we're not eating
but
any
sacrificing
humans.
The cat?
Yeah, that doesn't seem cool.
No.
Not my cat. Someone else's cat?
No. Weird. We don't kill animals. People, fine. Animals, no.
Yes. Come on. Don't you get it? It's 2022. If an animal dies, it's worse than if a person dies. This is how it works.
Yeah.
This is... look, going ahead, I just want to see if this team is going to be able to hit a couple of weeks from now. Because really, like, nothing to me resonates on the Astros schedule until they go up against in just a 10-day stretch from the 21st through the 29th, 21st through the 30th, where they play the Mets 4 times and the Yankees 5 times. They have a nice little ramp-up period to that with a series against the Rangers, which you just outlined, and then against the Chicago White Sox too. But when you look at them against those two New York teams, are they going to be able to score? Because they're going to need to score. You can't just assume that the starting pitching, which has been so good this year, is going to be able to do what it's done for the most part against any of those teams. They are all loaded. They are all rich, expensive payrolls that, you know, are going to have the Astros, I think, in a spot where if they don't score runs, then that's when we're going to finally admit, okay, something needs to be done about either the lineup or adding some bat that can step in for either Yuli Gurriel or I guess you would never do this with Bregman, but someone that would be further up the order than Alex Bregman is at this point in time.
Yeah, some questions on whether or not Bregman will stay in that three hole. All right, one of the shockers from this weekend, apparently, was that Notre Dame would take down number one Tennessee for the first trip to the to Omaha in 20 years for the Fighting Irish. I didn't realize Tennessee was so hated. But when Notre Dame, a school most people don't root for, I'm from Indiana and I don't, you know, actively root for
them. I wanted to ask you about that, but continue.
Yeah, I'm an Indiana fan. Couldn't stand Notre Dame fans.
Does anyone in Indiana like Notre Dame?
Yeah, but it's more of what they call the region, northern. Like,
gotcha,
towards, yeah.
Okay.
So Notre Dame beats Knoxville. They knock off Tennessee. And everyone on Twitter, you and I talked about this, exploded in like, thank God, Tennessee was so cocky. Impossible to like these guys. Cocky lineup through and through. What did they do that was so bad? And I'm asking because I genuinely don't know.
Right. I mean, listen, we when it comes to college baseball, we are not as into it as
no, and we don't
other
ask,
people are.
Like, we don't pretend to.
Someone came up to me at the bar, one of my friends, and he was like, hey, did you see Tennessee lost? And I was like, yeah, is that significant? And I guess they had an incredible regular season. And they're also, I guess, a team that has a lot of bravado. Then throw on top of all of that bravado the fact that Tennessee's online fan base are among some of the stupidest people you'll ever see on the internet. I mean, a lot of Titans fans that are also Tennessee Volunteers fans. These idiots still think it's 1998 with their football program. So I think a lot of people were really happy to see Tennessee fans just stewing it because that's what they are. I mean, Tennessee baseball fans, Tennessee football fans, Tennessee basketball fans, they are all the same. They have this really deluded sense of self. And it's cute, especially when it blows up in their face, because it always does, and they never learn from it. It's awesome.
Yeah, we had some questions about why that was such a heated topic. Another heated topic, so heated, in fact, that Tommy Pham slapped Jock Peterson. The infamous Fantasy Football League. We found out some significant information yesterday. It turns out, according to Mike Trout, the commissioner of the Fantasy Football League, that one Astros player won that league.
Who?
Okay, I'll ask him. Who won then?
Alex Bregman.
Ooh.
I told you that. Now you're not going to go ask him questions about this league because it's obviously over.
No, it's not.
It's true, but we do have him next week.
Oh, yeah, you can ask him then. Yeah, for sure.
Terrible.
Alex Bregman is being asked about this today or tomorrow.
Mike Trout continues to be the worst. And
that was a funny joke from Trout, though, right? yeah, you can ask him then, not now.
God, Mike Trout, the love of Mike Trout. I don't like Mike Trout because everyone fawns over him. It's not really like a good take to have. It's just I'm annoyed by everyone's love of him. Anyway.
Shout out to Alex Bregman, who will probably be investigated by the IRS because I'm guessing he won a lot of money for winning this league.
Alex Bregman needs to stop playing fantasy baseball, Vanessa. Listen, a lot of people are probably thinking to themselves right now as I say this, hey, Paul, are you serious? You think that fantasy football is going to be a distraction during a baseball season, which is long, slow, plodding, and boring, and doesn't really involve like a whole lot of, I don't know, attention to be paid because, you know, the games take so long. I mean, what are you going to be doing? Yeah, you could definitely make some trades during, I don't know, the first and second inning
spreads.
So
you think Alex Bregman should hop off fantasy football?
Bregman's going to stop with fantasy football until he can hit well, Vanessa. He's going to stop. It's just too much of a distraction.
You know, last October, World Series, he really struggled. Maybe he's a little too worried about who's on the IR for the Tennessee Titans.
You're right, Sean. Heat of the fantasy football season, World Series, it's the same time. Where's Alex Bregman? Alex Bregman's mind on whether or not he should start Devontae Adams or Jared Abridatus. You know, big decisions like that that you have to make. And sometimes, you know, you want to put the really weird wide receiver in there who I'm not even sure is on the Packers anymore. That was just a name I was using
just
for the sake of doing
one.
It.
Sure.
Yeah, look, it happens. Bregman was clearly distracted
Should
by
I
fantasy baseball.
Should I play
Robert
Tonyan? Will he have another?
I mean football. Yeah.
Random.
Yeah, Robert Tonyan. That's it. Another
yeah,
one.
There you
Where's
go.
Is Robert Tonyan in my lineup or should I put in Gronk? I don't know.
Yeah, who's my flex? Jeff Wilson Jr.?
So
Jeff Wilson Jr.
Alex Bregman apparently good at fantasy football, and I am going to guarantee that either Mark Berman or maybe McTaggart if he's feeling a little fun. It won't be Chandler Rome. McTaggart, ooh. Berman, somebody will ask Alex Bregman about this fantasy football league.
Oh, yeah, someone will. And then will they all laugh at what Bregman has to say, too?
Absolutely. And it'll be the most awkward thing ever.
It'll be louder than the fighter jet that was lifting off during Dusty's thing.
Because Bregman doesn't really laugh. Bregman just kind of, like, stares. And so Bregman won't even laugh about it. Bregman will be like, yeah, I won. And yeah, they'll be like,
he'll be very deadpan about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone's got to ask him the tough question, though. Like, was your focus in the World Series on your fantasy football league? I mean, I'm being totally serious right now. No sarcasm whatsoever.
God.
Alex Bregman playing fantasy football cost the Astros a World Series.
Yeah.
Coming up next on Speak for Your Pizza.
You laugh about that, but you know what? That would be probably a topic of conversation on some of those Speak for Your Pizza shows. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, A.J. Brown wanting to fight some Titans fans?
Good.
What?
Me too.
Plus, what's the real beef between Bruce Arians and the GOAT? That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, A.J. Brown, a wide receiver formerly of the Tennessee Titans, now, of course, with the Philadelphia Eagles, dropped a couple of interesting tweets over the weekend. Some of them involved weather, and some of them involved him being the greatest wide receiver, apparently, in franchise history. Here's the weather tweet. Today I learned that the percentage on the weather doesn't mean it's the percent of a chance it's going to rain. It means the percent of the city is the amount it's going to get hit with rain. Meaning like 50% rain means that's how much of the city will get rain. To which people and many meteorologists just tweeted him and said that's
what?
Flat out not true. He said, if it's wrong, blame my girlfriend. I'd just be listening to her sometimes. So maybe you don't listen to AJ
throwing her
Brown
under the bus for his bad
when
take.
It comes to anything meteorology related.
Okay.
But he also got some attention for saying that he was the best wide receiver in Titans history. He was arguing with people on Twitter. I'm having a hard time finding the tweet, so maybe he deleted it.
He must have.
Because I cannot find it, and it was there as of yesterday.
Titans fans are extremely toxic people, much like those Tennessee Volunteer fans that we were talking about not too long ago. People from Tennessee, you know, when they're not hunting squirrels and living in caves and eating people like Eliza Dushku in Wrong Turn, they are online, with internet that somehow they have, attacking people that would dare besmirch their very mediocre sports scene. A.J. Brown being the best wide receiver in Titans history, statistically, you probably can't make that argument. I think Derek Mason would have something to say about that. And if we're going to go to the entire history of the Oilers, there are certainly some wide receivers here back in the day that maybe would like a word. I mean, no one's as cool as Billy
Ernest
White Shoes.
Givens.
Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Thank you to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, because even though I think the tweet was deleted, he still has it on his website. So after Brown made the incorrect statement about weather forecasts, a Titans fan tweeted him, "For the love of God, just stay off social media. You're already a villain. No need to make it a stupid villain." To which he responded, "For the love of God, I was the best receiver to play for your franchise. Shut up and move on. You mad at the wrong person."
Yeah. I don't hate him coming at it this way, because you can't really make a strong argument for someone being more of an impact player at wide receiver in Tennessee history than him. Just think about it. I mean, what, Kevin Dyson, who came up a yard short during the Super Bowl, he was there for a while. He was a pretty productive wide receiver. Who are you looking at? Who would you point at? Frank Wycheck? He was a tight end. You know, I'm really thinking hard about who potentially would be there. And you can go a million years ago to some Houston Oilers, too.
I was going to say, I think people locally would probably think of an Oilers person that they may like better than A.J. Brown.
But even
they
then,
feel like was more productive than A.J. Brown.
I think that A.J. Brown, even though he was just being hyperbolistic and probably tried to get under the skin of said Titans fans who came after him, without even putting any research into his argument, I feel like he actually has a pretty strong case there.
Oh, the tweet's still here. I just found it. Yeah. AJ Brown really defending himself on this. I want to know
what he was super wrong about the weather, though.
He was the weather forecast thing that started everything was really mind blowing. I do suggest, and we've all been there before, where we've like tweeted something that we look back on and we're like, I didn't do enough research before I tweeted said thing. But he was wrong about the meteorology tweet, and he had several weather men and weather women correct him on that.
Apparently, this is me trying to diagnose how he even got to that. Apparently, there's a TikTok going around that says that, a 30% chance of rain doesn't mean there's a 30% chance. It means there's a 100% chance that only 30% of the area will see rain. And I'm reading an article
I'm lost just hearing you guys explain it.
A meteorologist debunks it.
Well, some
just
people
know that's
think
not true.
That it's
don't try to impress
30%
anyone.
Of an area will get rain.
Yeah, no, it's this.
And then other people think there's a. So that's what AJ Brown was saying, was it's not that there's a 30% chance of rain happening. It's 30% chance of your demographic, of your area, will get rain.
Okay.
To which meteorologists replied and said, it's really neither.
Yes.
It's kind of an interesting scientific mix of the area that could get rain versus the percentage of rain coming.
It's confidence times area based on this interview with the meteorologist.
So then all these weather people started coming at AJ Brown, to which he then threw his girlfriend under the bus and said it's her fault.
Damn. That's,
which if I'm AJ Brown's girlfriend, little harsh.
That's not a good sign for him in Philadelphia then, if he's just talking out of his ass and like people are going to call him out on it.
There was an interesting point brought up on Twitter.
Right.
Can AJ Brown handle Philadelphia fans
if he
gets this mad over Tennessee?
I've dealt with Titans fans. They are uniquely like just the worst people in the world. Like they're all bad people and should be sent to prison. I feel like we should, you know, send them to Siberia or something like that in some sort of exchange for Brittany Griner. It'd be great.
Oh.
All Titans fans, just send them away.
Bring Brittany home.
Especially the ones that live here in Houston and still root for that franchise. They left you and they're wearing your clothes. Like, I mean, that's kind of messed up. But AJ Brown talking out of his butt, that is not a good way to start with the meteorology thing. Again, though, I thought, and this was just off the top of my head, like Derek Mason's probably the only other person in the Titans history that could be there. There's a website, ranker.com, best Titans wide receivers ever. Derek Mason is one. AJ Brown is two, but he's not that far behind. Then number three, it's like Nate Washington, Corey Davis.
Jeez.
Who is gone already, and they didn't even pick up the fifth-year option on. Kevin Dyson. Drew Bennett, remember him? White wide receiver?
The great white hope.
During the Steve McNair days. Drew Hill, Kenny Britt, Ernest Givens, and then Billy White Shoes Johnson is number 10. Kendall Wright, who was a bust, he's at 11. I mean, it's a bad list. It's a really bad list.
It's not a good list.
Julio Jones.
AJ Brown may have a point.
I think he does have a point.
Did Tom Brady have a point when he supposedly kind of got Bruce Arians pushed out the door? That's the speculation, at least. They've both denied it, but it certainly seems like the timing worked out. Arians told the Tampa Bay Times that he would have returned as head coach if Brady hadn't returned. That's because, according to Bruce Arians, he didn't want to leave Todd Bowles in the dust with a bad team. I was going the other way. I was thinking he wasn't going to play, said Bruce Arians. I was thinking about who are we going to get? Who wants to trade? There wasn't anybody to draft. That was obvious. I've seen Todd Bowles, and I wanted to leave him in a good situation, is what Bruce Arians said. Do you buy it? Do you buy that Bruce Arians really had a choice to come back?
No.
Because to me, it seemed like Tom Brady kind of made a move and said that he wanted Todd Bowles. There were all of those reports of Bruce Arians coming in and messing up their game plans last minute.
Did things not seem hostile before the decision was ultimately made? There were comments that Arians made when there were rumors about Brady potentially wanting to play elsewhere, and Arians responded to them basically saying, like, oh, I just think he wants his name in the news, and also saying that, yeah, we would never move on from him, even for, like, five first-round picks. Now, that part was kind of complimentary to Brady, but the part where he said, like, yeah, Brady just wants attention, to me, that's not a way to keep yourself in power as head coach of that team. And then you see some of the other rumors that came out that I'm sure were leaked by Brady's camp about how Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator, and Brady would go into team meetings and Arians would just show up and late to those meetings and would throw those game plans in the trash or just trash them and diminish them. And it got to a point where, yeah, Brady didn't like it. It was a big factor. No doubt about it. And, I mean, Brady is at the point in his career now where I think that he's going to do whatever he can to get his way, kind of like what we're seeing with late stages LeBron. And the good thing for both LeBron and Brady, they're both playing at a high enough level where they're able to do that. And, you know, when you were that established across the league for two decades or so, go ahead, flex, see what happens. What are they going to do? Say no?
It was a good move PR-wise probably by the Buccaneers since, you know, you do have a minority coach who's getting elevated. Yeah. You have Bruce Arians who's staying. We were talking the other day about like the emeritus roles. It's emeritus in universities for teams. It's an advisor. You have somebody like Romeo Crennel that was doing God knows what with the Texans, but he was technically still with the franchise when he retired last week. It was PR-wise probably a good move for the Buccaneers, but I do think Tom Brady had a say in it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, look, he's our Lord and Savior, and sometimes he is our destroyer of worlds, you know, like Vishnu.
We didn't.
I am become death, destroyer of worlds.
We didn't always like Tom Brady in my household, but I will say that if you're going to let a quarterback.
Because you are conquered people.
Have an influence on your franchise, it's probably going to be Tom Brady.
If you had just converted, you know, if you had done some ritualistic sacrifice.
Not all of us are bandwagon fans who go from Red Sox to Astros the Patriots to Mariners Celtics, back to Astros.
Whatever.
Tampa Bay Lightning.
Tampa Bay Lightning. Hey, by the way, which was great.
Which is your most absurd fandom, I will say.
What? I went to high school in St. Pete, Florida. I went to 13 games the year they won the Stanley Cup for the first time.
Okay.
This is how I bonded after my dad left me. This is how I bonded my dad left and I moved to Florida with my mom. This is how I bonded and got over it.
He's bringing up the divorced parents.
Yeah, I know, right? What a card to play.
I have to play that.
I mean, it's like, how many? So you saw 13 games the year they won the
Stanley Cup, and then there was a lockout the next
year. How many have you watched since, or like in this last run, that aren't playoff games?
Damn. Zero.
Yeah. That's why it's
big
absurd.
Big Lightning fan.
You know what's funny, too? So the game was on Saturday. I went to Kirby Ice House with some friends, and the game was on. And I was watching it, but I wasn't making any noise because, you know, I am rooting for the Lightning, but mainly because they were playing New York. I noticed that there were some Rangers fans, so that they were being chirpy. So after the Rangers scored a goal, I thought to myself, oh, okay, well, if the Lightning score again, I'm going to be really insufferable. And 15 seconds later, the Lightning scored a goal, and I was like, yeah, let's go! Yeah! And they all looked back at me, and I was just, like, smirking. And it was great, because then the Lightning won. And there would be a couple more moments later in the game where I was just clapping, and they were all giving me dirty looks. But there's nothing better than rubbing New York loser sports fans' face in the dirt. And to see the Rangers lose again, another team from hollowed Madison Square Gardens, get demolished by the greatest hockey team that has ever been assembled was great.
How long did you have a home in Tampa Bay?
I lived, my parents technically still have a home there. In fact, my dad also lives half the year there. So,
really?
I mean, I'm kind of a Tampa Bay native.
You are.
I could be a Bucks fan too, you know?
It's very appropriate.
You could be a Rays fan too.
Why don't you go all out? If your home is in Tampa, your home might be in Houston. Wherever your home is, listen up. Nice. Our friends at TGS Insurance. Thank you. Thank you. Are going to deliver big savings and you don't even have to talk to an annoying agent. I know you pay too much for your home insurance, no matter where your home is, but it's a huge hassle to shop for better rates. Doesn't have to be thanks to TGS. They have a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers. You get your full quote within just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text message. You're going to save money. So take your phone right now. Text the word money, that's M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask for your address. You send that back and you get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company is the real deal. The savings are legit. And their average customer from last year, guys, saved over $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for it. I get it. But you're only one message away from better rates. So one more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I'm not sure that there's been a bigger critic of the LIV Golf Tour than Rory McIlroy.
Oh, yeah. He's 100%.
He is against it.
A stand for the PGA. Like, he has been defending the wall
big
of
company
the PGA.
Guy.
Not surprising that a Northern Irish person would stand up for establishment, but whatever.
There you go.
He doesn't like rebels like the Irish, no.
Hashtag history lesson.
Mm-hmm.
After picking up his second consecutive win at the RBC Canadian Open, this was on Sunday in Toronto, McIlroy took a little shot at the Saudi Arabian-backed golf league.
Yeah, this is a day I'll remember for a long, long time. 21st PGA Tour win, one more than someone else. That gave me a little bit of extra incentive today, and I'm happy to get it done.
One more than someone else, of course, referenced LIV Golf CEO Greg Norman, who won 20 times in his career on the PGA Tour, and this was 21st win for Rory. And he's the one that started the LIV Golf League.
They keep indirectly giving the LIV Golf League, though, publicity.
And they're giving it tons.
Here's what's a shame. So I did not watch the Canadian Open over the weekend, but I did see highlights. And, I mean, that was a rowdy, bleeping atmosphere. And it was, I think, very, very reminiscent of the Waste Management Open, which takes place in Scottsdale every year and is just an absolute ratchet golf party, which is the kind of golf that I want to be a part of. I didn't know that Canadians had it in them. And at the end of the tournament, are we talking about a great performance by Rory? Are we talking about an awesome PGA event with a great crowd? No, we're once again talking about LIV. They're continuing to give LIV free publicity. I don't think it's a great strategy, and I get it. Rory McIlroy didn't mention Greg Norman's name, but if he's trying to defend the PGA and keep the PGA at the lofty perch that it now holds in the golf world, this is not the way to do it. You act like you're bigger than that. Easier said than done. If I were Rory and I did not like Greg Norman, I mean, it would be pretty awesome to flex on him in that spot. But LIV is getting more and more attention through controversy.
It also sounds like we're talking about a 14-year-old middle schooler named Olivia. Like, LIV, I can't stand LIV. I really don't like LIV. LIV is dangerous. LIV is problematic. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things with Phil Mickelson, with LIV, though, and all those superstars, you probably can't ignore it. But to your point, they are giving them, like, tons and tons of publicity.
I've always wondered what would be short for Olivia, and I guess it would be LIV.
Oh, it's LIV, yeah.
Is LIV Tyler actually Olivia?
I think so.
I honestly don't know.
Producer Sean, LIV Tyler?
I've never heard anyone called LIV in their life, but, I mean, this does seem like something in 2022 that a Generation Z person would go by.
LIV.
Actually, I'm LIV.
No, apparently her name is just LIV Rundgren Tyler.
Yeah, because
she thought
Todd Rundgren was her dad for the first 11 years of her life, an old singer named Todd Rundgren. And then randomly, I saw the E! True Hollywood story about it, and then randomly her mom was like, it's actually Steven Tyler, but he was on drugs when he got me pregnant. So she has two dads. Todd Rundgren, her OG dad, and then Steven Tyler, her actual dad.
Mm.
Fun fact Monday. Fun fact, the war of words between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher may be over, but the Aggies were not happy about it. According to records obtained, Texas A&M Athletic Director Ross Bjork and school president Catherine Banks of A&M sent a strongly worded email to SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, and they encouraged Sankey to punish Nick Saban after the words against A&M's recruiting tactics.
Ross Bjork's going to Ross Bjork. This is some sensey stuff. I like it, though. Whatever. I want all of the spice and zest. It doesn't look good for Ross Bjork. It makes Texas A&M, again, look like the little brothers that they hate to be called. But at the same time, you know what? If Jimbo Fisher, if Nick Saban, if everyone's going to walk their comments back, I want somebody else to continue to pour gasoline on the fire of this potential actual rivalry. I mean, A&M beat Alabama last year. They hold the belt. And I think it's kind of funny that Ross Bjork is asking for a suspension because Nick Saban basically just acknowledged that, yeah, I mean, what do you think that they're doing? It's College Station. They're probably paying people. And I know there's some Aggies out there who are going to get mad when you say that, but let's be honest. If we're talking about recruiting, what is going to bring somebody more likely to a program like Texas A&M? The surrounding area of College Station and Bryan or money?
Or all the success they have on the field.
You never want to
I didn't say that.
The little brother that's going to your parents and tattling. And that's what this email is by Ross Bjork and Catherine Banks. It's like, oh, he said something mean about us, Greg Sankey. Don't you think that you should put the hammer down on Nick Saban? You come across as nerdy. You come across as insecure. You come across as the little brother, and it's obnoxious. If you're an Angels fan, you've probably been annoyed by their losing streak. Despite having Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, the Angels did lose 14 in a row. They've since won. But that led to the firing of Joe Maddon. The problem is Joe Maddon had come into work ready to make his team giggle before realizing he had gotten fired.
This is going to turn it around.
This is so bad.
Imagine you think that this is... Oh, sorry. Here's Tim Kirchen.
After consecutive loss number 12, Maddon got a mohawk haircut to try to awaken his team. But the players never saw it. He was fired.
Don't you love the dramatic music in the background?
The most Michael Scott thing ever, where you get a mohawk to make your team laugh and to say, guys, we can turn this around. And instead, you get fired and they play Nickelback to try and break the losing streak, which they eventually did, but not that day.
The Nickelback didn't help, and the mohawk, which was never seen, didn't help. They should have let him manage one more day.
Game with the mohawk.
So he could at least show the mohawk off.
When he walks in the office with the mohawk, you're like, ugh.
He had to have walked in the office with the GM and or the owner of the Angels, right? I mean, and they look at him and they say, what did you do? And he says, well, we've lost 14 games in a row. I thought it would bring some levity, some light to the situation. And the owner then had to say, you're actually fired. So now you just need to shave your head.
Now you're a 70-year-old man with a mohawk.
A 70-year-old
unemployed man with a mohawk.
The missus might like that. A 70-year-old unemployed man with a mohawk? You can start your own punk band.
Maybe they made it kinky for a night, but I just think that it's awkward that he had to have been fired with a mohawk.
What do you think your defense is when you're called into the office and you have the mohawk? Hey, I just got this mohawk. Can we have one more day and see if it turns around?
Also, it's such an awful look because they're probably like, so what have you done to help turn the tide in this losing streak? And he was like, well, you might notice my head. I have a mohawk. We're at 14 games. I'm at shave my head into a mohawk.
I care more than anyone here. I got a mohawk for the troops, for the players. I was going to make them happy. It was going to change the vibe.
This
yo.
Guy won a World Series, by the way.
NGL.
This guy won a World Series in Chicago.
It was going to be bussing again, dog.
It was going to be bussing for real.
For real. On God.
But Joe Maddon fired. I do want to hear more of this story. When Joe Maddon writes a book about his career as a whole, which, sorry, he's in his 70s, so he kind of needs to get on it. I want to hear about the timeline of who fired him. Did his agent call him and say, hey, you need to go to the owner's office? Because at that point, he knows. You know when you get called to the principal's office. And he's walking up there thinking, I have this damn mohawk. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the grandkids liked it. But that's a tough look for Joe Maddon, both figuratively and literally. I don't know that I'd want to see that man with a mohawk.
For some reason, I can't help but think of the fantastic Disney movie, Angels in the Outfield. I think it's arguably the greatest sports movie that's ever been made.
I'm
being
a joke?
Entirely serious okay. when I say it. Oh. I love that movie. Guess who's in that movie in like non-lead roles? Matthew McConaughey.
Right fielder for the Angels, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey's in it. Adrian Brody's in it. And these guys are like nothings. The main characters, the main actors are Danny Glover, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Tony Danza, who plays Mel Clark. I used to be Mel Clark, kid.
Oh.
I can quote that whole movie.
Tony Danza.
I can quote that whole movie.
Bull Durham, greatest sports movie, by the way. One of the greatest. Bull Durham's the greatest baseball movie. I'm sorry if anybody ever
no
told you.
No Angels in the Outfield.
I'm sorry if somebody told you it was Angels in the Outfield. And I'm sorry if somebody told you it's The Sandlot.
It's
Bull Durham.
It's Major League.
If they hired George Knox, the Angels, to turn things around and bring in some divine help, then it would have helped. And George Knox gave maybe the greatest post-game speech to his team of all time.
Major League is good, but I still go with Bull Durham. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to put a bow on a Monday with some garbage time, baby. Stay tuned.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Everybody, I hope your Monday's going well. We had a fun weekend. I didn't get a lot of sleep because I did Astros pre and post game. Paul, you had a fun weekend, right?
Yeah, I did. I didn't want it to be as fun as it was.
Paul
but...
had said that he was not going to go out at all and that he was going to stay in. Mm-hmm. I called BS lovingly.
Yeah.
And how did that go?
I didn't stay in once, not even on Sunday, which I...
You literally went out every day.
I did. It's easy to tempt me out. Don't tempt me with a good time. Seriously, don't. Don't tempt me. Just let me linger in my apartment and watch Peaky Blinders, which is what I was hoping
to do. Did you ever
watch
The Boys?
I did watch The Boys.
Did you finish it?
Episode 4 came out on Friday. They're releasing them one episode at a time.
Oh, old school.
A-Train, zero redeeming qualities anymore. Done. Out. Oh, Paul, you're racist for that take. No. Watch the show. Anyway, and what else did I watch? Oh, yeah. Obi-Wan has been rather disappointing thus far. And Peaky Blinders is getting a little bit... there's too much of this trippy stuff that's going on. It's one of the reasons I didn't enjoy Vikings after a while. Mm. Gets a little trippy.
9528 agrees with me that Bull Durham is the greatest baseball movie ever. Eric in Jersey Village. Thank you. What'd you say it is, Sean? You think it's Major League?
Yeah, I have Major League.
What about you, Paul?
Angels in the Outfield.
Really?
It's a big bummer. No matter who we play, we give the game away because we can't win. That would be a sin. We even lose the games before they begin. Save it, Maple. One more loss. One more loss that could have been a win. And you guys call yourselves professionals. You all got your heads so far up your butts, you can't even see the light of day. One more loss, and I'll do this. Bummer.
Wow, he can recite the whole movie.
I want everyone showing up at 6:30 tomorrow morning. We're going back to fundamentals.
I thought you were being...
Fundamentals. Sarcastic. In the middle of the season? Yes, I can keep on going. I can quote that entire movie. Yes, it's a great movie.
All right, it is time for our garbage time segment.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This could be garbage. Why your insurance rates are so high.
Is this another transition to an ad read?
Nice job. Thank you, though. A Missouri woman was awarded $5.2 million in a settlement from insurance company Geico after she contracted an STD from her partner in his vehicle, which was insured by Geico. The woman, a Jackson County resident, said she got HPV from her partner and sued Geico, and she won.
I want the lizard to have to speak about this.
Can we just...
Has someone in your car got an STD?
Well, can we just cut that sound? Can we cut that sound? I want the lizard.
Oi, I'm a gecko, and if your woman gets an STD in my car, we'll cover that for you. We're like the new Mayhem.
Sorry, you got the clap.
Wait, why did you sound so much like him?
Oh, I thought it sounded awful.
Yeah. I think that was probably like a 30% correct impersonation. It was just the British accent was just something I wanted to do right now.
A 70-year-old woman in India, rest in peace, was trampled to death by an elephant, and then her corpse was bizarrely attacked by the exact same beast.
That's incredible.
At her funeral, her name's Maya Murmu. Rest in peace. She had been fetching water from a well in the eastern India state, and then she was trampled to death by an elephant. So they hold her funeral, and they were performing her last rites before lighting a funeral pyre.
Pyre.
When the elephant returned and grabbed her body and trampled it again. What is
the beef up in the air
that the elephant has with this woman?
I don't know, but I kind of wish I was in attendance for that funeral. It would be. I mean, that's something you don't see at a funeral.
You'd have a story for the rest of your life. The craziest.
That elephant's vindictive. And, you know, that's something you could have seen on Corn Cob TV if they didn't, you know, cancel Corn Cob TV.
We've gotten two responses that Rookie of the Year is the best baseball movie. 5030
says...
No,
that one's awful. I fell asleep during
1496. I don't agree with Rookie of the Year.
The kid broke his arm, and he, like, all of a sudden becomes a great pitcher for the
Little
Chicago
Big League is Cubs. The better little kid in Major League Baseball.
Both of them are absolutely horrible. And they don't hold a candle to Angels in the Outfield.
The Rookie, Dennis Quaid, is the GOAT.
No. That one drags.
That's fine.
It's a Disney.
Mr. 3000 deserves a mention.
Mr. 3000 actually was a very good movie.
I don't know that I've seen that.
Yeah.
He has 3,000 hits. He retires.
Stat correction.
That's his brand. And then they do stat corrections, and he needs like 13 more hits. And he has to come out of retirement.
Right. I think it was just one, because he's Mr. 2,999 or something like that.
I thought it was like a little bit more.
It's a good movie. It's a shame Bernie Mac passed. He was funny.
Number one, Bull Durham. Number two, Bad News Bears. Number three, Major League, somebody says on Twitch.
I don't know. I watched Bad News Bears. I think for people who watched it when it first came out, you probably enjoyed it a lot more than today. But it definitely is one of those movies where today, a lot of the jokes in it are cancelable. So you know what? There's like a little vintage zest to it, huh?
This one comes from Pauly G's country of origin in Boston. The Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority hopes with a new program they're going to tackle the public urination in system elevators.
Ridiculous.
With technology, they're launching a pilot program with urine detection sensors, and they'll be placed in four downtown elevators. So the hope is that they can sense when people are peeing.
What are they going to do? Like and have a siren that goes off? Woo, woo! You stop peeing right now!
Is public urination an issue in Boston on elevators?
It's not an issue anywhere. If you have, you know, a thing, you can go standing up anywhere. I saw a video that went viral of a little kid playing baseball who was at second base, and he just started peeing while he's standing on second base. Good for him. He stayed on second base the whole time as he was peeing, so there was no questions about it, no way he could be tagged out while not calling a timeout. Look, I don't know. I feel like as long as you're going, that's not in a place that's way like out in the open, shouldn't you be allowed to go?
So you're arguing on behalf of peeing in an elevator.
People that pee in an elevator.
Not in an elevator.
What's the line there?
Not in an elevator, but in like a back alley. Absolutely.
So anywhere outside should be
outside. Yeah,
outside,
I think so.
I don't just.
What? I don't mind it.
Are there little kids walking by?
Yeah. Are you a sex offender?
Well, you become a sex offender if you do it, which I think is crazy.
So you're defending sex offenders right now?
No.
You think our sex offending laws are too strong?
This one actually comes right from Houston, guys. Authorities in Houston, Texas are searching for three men who were caught on camera robbing a liquor store and fleeing with a cheap decoy liquor bottle that they thought was real.
Ooh.
So it's supposed to be a $4,200 bottle of liquor, but it ended up being a decoy.
So they stole Barton's.
So they stole
a plastic bottle.
Yeah.
Hey, this doesn't feel very heavy. Maybe they're going to use it as a decoration in their apartment. Hey, we bought this once. You know, something we used to do in college, we got Grey Goose once, but we never actually refilled it. And we would just refill the Grey Goose bottle that we had with Barton so that when people came over, they would think we were classy.
Oh.
But in fact, we were trashy and pouring the gasoline from those plastic bottles of vodka into the Grey Goose.
Really?
Yep.
See, we just had, like, empty alcohol bottles. I mean, we didn't...
At the top of the cabinets.
Yeah, that's what we did. And we collected, like, the beer, the top of bottles. This story made me think of you, Paul. Have you ever been turned on by trash?
No.
In Sweden, some trash cans are now programmed with sultry audio messages. The trash cans respond with sexy words of encouragement... when given garbage. City officials say it's meant to discourage littering.
This is like the scene in Better Call Saul where Saul is introduced to a patent for a poop, for a toilet that encourages young children to poop. And like the message of Tommy the toilet is like, "That's a big one, little Timmy." And that guy, that is the same thing as this. Although I guess there's less poop that's involved. Yeah, this is messed up. That's going to encourage people to throw their trash out? Sexy words of encouragement from a trash can?
I don't know, guys. I've been kind of lonely lately. If I put, like, my McDonald's Diet Coke cup in a trash can and I heard, "Damn, girl, you look good." I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
I would probably litter if that happened. Like, you're a trash can. Stop trying to be sexy. You're trying to be something you're not.
To be fair, you just pee on it or something.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's...
I mean, it's outside. You can do it.
It's outside.
Who cares?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Sexy garbage cans. I mean, it's not the worst idea I've ever heard.
Not a good one.
That's a Monday. That's Sean Mapes. That's Paul Gallant. I'm Vanessa Richardson, and we certainly appreciate you hanging with us. Up next, you have the Killer Bees from 12 to 3. Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham with you next.
Peace.
Home for sports is ESPN 97.5.